J.C. Corcoran Podcast.
Anthony Scaramucci went off
in a profanity-filled, expletive-laden interview.
We're talking about F-bombs.
I can't read all the words.
We can at least give you an idea.
Scaramucci said he wanted
to expletive.
Deleted.
Effing kill all the leakers.
Scaramucci referred to Priebus as a quote.
Again, expletive.
Expletive.
Blank.
Blanking.
Blanking.
Bleeping.
Bleeping.
Effing.
Effing.
Paranoid. Schizophrenic. A paranoiac.
And referred to himself as the mooch.
That was the least foul and offensive thing that Scaramucci said.
Scaramucci also using coarse language to describe senior White House advisor Steve Bannon.
Using an extremely foul term.
With language more fit for the outhouse than the White House.
So sexually explicit.
Such vulgar terms, they cannot be repeated on television.
We'd have to delete so many expletives, you would not understand what the quote meant.
Let me leak the blanking thing and see if I can blank block.
Blank block.
Bleep block these people the way I bleep blocked Scaramucci.
I'm not Steve Bannon. I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own expletive.
I'm not trying to suck my own bleep.
And I'm not going to blank my own blank. I'm not going to keep just saying blanking, blanking.
And baby, talk to me.
The president's chief strategist talking about self-fellatio.
How is that even physically possible, number one?
No, I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous. Don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest as jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
July 2020. That didn't sound very good. It sounded like Screech right there. 12th of July 2021 here at jcontheline.com. It is the J.C. Corcoran Podcast. How you doing, kids? Man, all hell is breaking loose. There's just so much going on. This is going to be another stormy day in St. Louis and throughout the Midwest and other places, but especially the Midwest. Looking at the radar here this morning as we publish at 7 a.m., and there's some evil stuff going to be going through. The Pope is sick. Well, the Pope was sick, you know, but whenever the Pope's in the hospital, I guess they took about 10 feet of his intestines out, and he's going to be fine. As a matter of fact, you know, he went to the balcony yesterday and started talking, and he didn't sound like, you know, like some of those popes go out there and they're like, Dominus Vamisco. You're like, this guy's not going to make it throughout the afternoon. But this Pope Francis went out there and he sounded strong as a bull. Take him to Vegas and see how long he lasts there. 117 degrees above zero yesterday. Yes, that's a record. And don't give me that shit about it being a dry heat either. Because when it's 117 degrees, and it's never even been close to 117 in Vegas. And the Pacific Northwest is still goofed up with temperatures over 100 degrees. Yesterday, they said that some of the sea life, like mussels and some other stuff that is harvested from ocean waters in that part of the country, the temperature is so hot that these things have beached themselves and then are cooking on the beach. Bad news for the sushi industry. Yeah, the mussels are cooking right there on the beach. This story about what is going on in Colorado has been misreported a couple of times. And that's fine because in a lot of cases, the first version of a big story has major flaws in it. And then they find out a little more and then they go, oh, okay, remember what we told you about 3 hours ago? That's not right. But I'm sort of surprised that this morning some people are still misreporting this. Three men and a woman were arrested at a hotel in Denver with rifles, ammunition, 1,000 rounds, and body armor. Major League Baseball All-Star festivities are in full swing, and authorities thought that the suspects may have been planning a Las Vegas-style shooting from their eighth-floor room, but yesterday afternoon they said, no, that's not the case. It was some sort of a major drug deal going down, and they believe it was unrelated to the festivities involving the Major League Baseball All-Star game. Tomorrow night, though, that'll be the safest place on earth to be, because you know they'll have that place completely sequestered. Today in Tampa, and for those of you unfamiliar with that area, there is a major river that goes right through the center of downtown Tampa. And so when one of their sports teams wins, and a lot of them have been winning, haven't they? They have boat parades. They don't bother with, you know, tying up the city streets. They just go down right on the water. And, you know, the Super Bowl parade they had a couple of months back, Tom Brady threw the Lombardi Trophy from one boat to another boat, raising the ire of the National Football League brass. But another boat parade today involving Oakville's own Pat Maroon, the Stanley Cup champion, Tampa Bay Lightning, the Bolts, as they call them, having their boat parade today. And by the way, perfect weather for a boat parade and hundreds of thousands of people lining the streets. Hail in the forecast this afternoon in Tampa Bay, Florida. Speaking of bad weather, my mother-in-law in Maryland Heights, her power went out, let's see, Friday late night, about midnight, and didn't come on until yesterday. I don't know, might be time to invest in a generator. I have those generators, and they're quite expensive, but if you live in an area where you have a loser grid, and that's how it all started for me, because when I was living in Olivet, I lived there for 3 years, and my power went out 17 times, including during the Super Bowl, on a night where it was 40 degrees and no wind, and you know the story, because I complained about it, and then they came after me. Keep the fucking power on, and there's no problem, okay? But they cost thousands of dollars. But if you live in an area prone to power outages, and I certainly was in that situation, and my mother-in-law, same thing. 15-mile-an-hour wind, the power goes out. And when it goes out, it stays out for, you know, like at least 36, 48 hours. Well, now you plug in one of those generators, one of those fancy-ass propane generators, and it just automatically kicks on when the power goes out. And you might be saying to yourself, oh, come on, JC, a little power outage, man. You're that weak. It's got nothing to do with that. I buy in bulk. We go to Costco, we buy all this stuff, and then we shove it into this massive deep freezer that we have. And so if the power goes out for a couple of days, you lose hundreds of dollars in food, frozen food. So it is a big deal to me, although I have no appetite after watching the injury to Conor McGregor. Over the weekend, I was explaining to my wife, who is 22 years younger than me, all of this stuff that goes on. There was even an episode of The Simpsons where Homer was watching a video called Greatest Sports Injuries. And of course, you lead with the Joe Theismann thing on Monday Night Football. I was explaining that. Delino DeShields at Busch Stadium going around first base. His whole shin, the whole bottom part of his leg turned into like a helicopter. And over the weekend, Conor McGregor is doing one of those mixed martial arts fights or something like that. And his ankle just, I didn't even see video of it. I just saw the still. And even that made me sick to my stomach. Sports related, yes, the Washington Redskins haven't been called that for a while now, but they're still going to be called the Washington Football Team for at least another season. They say that they are whittling down the choices, but that they still don't have one picked out. But either way, you're not going to find out what it is until 2022. I already told you, best idea, one of the best ideas I've ever had. And I've had some darned good ones. When we followed the Cardinals to Yankee Stadium and then Fenway Park for interleague play, we called the promotion Yanks and Beans. When I was working at a radio station in Michigan back in the 70s, there was an artist by the name of Chris Rea, and he had a song called Fool If You Think It's Over. Chris Rea. It was also the time that the Dire Straits debut album came out, and I suggested we give away free albums and call it a Diarrhea Weekend. Good morning, everybody. And now this, the new name for the football team in Washington, D.C. is the Capital Punishment. Huh? Huh? My idea. They won't use it. I sort of have the news on nonstop right now because, I don't know, is Mike Schultz still manager? Is David Ross still manager up in Chicago? I think you're going to have massive managerial changes and player changes here. If not today, then certainly before the trading deadline at the end of the month of July. You just can't let something like this continue without doing something. And it may not be fair to Mike Schultz, and it might not be fair to David Ross, but I'm just speaking historically as a baseball fan. That's what you do. You can't fire the whole team. So they fire the manager, they make a couple of player changes, and you hope that it shakes things up. This is unacceptable, though, what we're watching right now. Oh, by the way, that rainout yesterday will be part of a doubleheader at Wrigley Field in Chicago on September 24th, which just happens to be my birthday. And Missouri, all over the national and international news. I watch the BBC News Hour every once in a while. But just to show you, the BBC, their lead story last night was soccer. But then they got around to the weather extremes in not only the Pacific Northwest, but also, you know, like I said, in the Las Vegas. But then right after that, the next story was Springfield, Missouri. Hello. All over the COVID news for all the wrong reasons. A 55% jump in COVID cases across the Fruited Plains. And at this point, I sort of look at it this way. Your house is on fire. The fire department comes. They start hooking up the hoses. And you say, no, no thank you. But not only are you an idiot for having a cure, if you will, to your fire. It's called water. You're turning that down, but because we know how it spreads, you're also endangering all of the other houses in the neighborhood because the wind is blowing and it's going to set all of their houses on fire too. That's what a selfish prick you are, or you are listening to people who tell you that water doesn't stop fire. And if you're that poorly informed, I don't know what to, all I know is my voice goes very, I sound like Ricky Horton when he gets excited. Ricky Horton is doing a baseball game, and it's like, all right, we have two outs here in the bottom of the seventh inning, but as soon as somebody gets a hit, his voice goes up, and he sounds like Madonna doing the play-by-play. It's a long fly ball! And, of course, 99.9% of the people who are being put on ventilators and are being hospitalized and all this kind of stuff are non-vaccinated. Like I was saying Friday, one of the most compassionate people I know, a woman whose name would be immediately recognizable to you, has said to me at this point, I'm done. Just let them all die. That's how sick of this some people have gotten. I keep going back and forth on this Richard Branson thing, and I mention here because you're going to hear a conversation that I had with Richard Branson back in 1998 coming up here in just a couple of seconds. But, you know, there's a yay and nay on this. I know a lot of people are upset because you have two billionaires, multi-billionaires, that are, you know, spending all of this money to play and have really, really super sophisticated toys. All right, couple of things. Like I said, there's a yay and a nay on this. First of all, I'm in favor of not only the NASA space program, but also what these guys are doing. I think once man stops exploring, might as well just take the whole civilization and cash in your chips. Man should always be exploring. I'm sure there are lots of people standing alongside the river telling Lewis and Clark, you guys are idiots, this is a waste of time and money, and it's dangerous, you know, there's engines out there, and they might shoot you with an arrow. Yeah, you wouldn't say that to Lewis and Clark. So don't say it to people who are exploring here in 2021. The argument against all of this is that we have problems here on Earth that need immediately addressing. There's so much hunger and homelessness, and people, you know, little kids going to bed hungry every night. With the money Richard Branson and Jeff Bezos have, you know, you could wipe out hunger, worldwide hunger, several times over with the money they have. So why not spend it on something like that? I did see some people post yesterday that, you know, Alan Shepard was the first guy to go up in space, and he basically did back in the early 1960s what Richard Branson did yesterday. But Richard Branson did it privately and without some rocket that's 10 stories tall. And Richard Branson does do a lot of charitable work. As a matter of fact, his philanthropic activities are quite extensive. So I just say, leave these guys alone. Now, Bezos, that's another story. If Bezos gives money away, I'm unaware of it. I remember when I was doing those trips to New York and L.A., they're called movie junkets, where they would fly reporters in from all over the country. You would sit down, you would watch a movie on a Friday night, and then you would have the opportunity to do all the interviews with the stars of the movie the next day. And then you hop on a plane, you come back, and you put those interviews on your local TV station. And I did that for something like 16 years. And I remember there was some Billy Bob Thornton movie. I don't even remember the name of it. But the movie, I believe, but we saw this movie on that Friday night. We did the interviews on Saturday. The movie opened a couple of weeks later, and I don't think anybody saw it. And I can't even remember the name of it. And I could look it up, but that's not the point. The point is this, that the story was, I think he played a former NASA engineer or something like that, and he tried to build a NASA style rocket in his backyard. And I'm not sure if I cared enough about this, I would have looked it up ahead of time. But if I'm not mistaken, it might have been based on a true story, which they then embellished. Can you imagine that? A guy building like a 10-story rocket in his backyard in your neighborhood. Did you ever see one of those things light up before it takes off? There's a bit of smoke and fire that seems to protrude for quite an area outside of the launch pad. And I remember thinking to myself, how stupid is this movie? Well, you basically have guys doing that right now. Two of them. But at the very beginnings of the NASA space program, that's what they did with Alan Shepard. It's like, we're going to just send you straight up and bring you straight down. And that's basically what Richard Branson did in 2021. We're celebrating the moon landing here in a couple of weeks. And as I've often said, the fact that we went to the moon isn't really the story. The story is that we went to the moon in 1969. And all that stuff, all those computers on board, all of those spacecraft, about what you have in a handheld calculator these days. Now, speaking of 1969, I saw this on Facebook. It's sort of interesting. USA population, 203 million. Most popular TV shows, Mayberry RFD, Gunsmoke. Mayberry RFD, that's not even the Andy Griffith show. That's after he and Don Knotts left, and then they had that guy Ken Berry who was doing it, and Floyd still hung around, and Howard Sprague. And how sorry is that? That I know the last name of Howard on the Andy Griffith show. All right, Gunsmoke, Bonanza, Rowan and Martin's Laughing, and Family Affair with Brian Keith. Historical events. The Boeing 747 makes its maiden flight from Payne Field in Everett, Washington. The Woodstock Festival. Some of these prices. My daughter, who is about to turn 12 in the fall, I tell her this stuff. She just can't get her head around it. Gallon of milk, $1.10. A dozen eggs, 62 cents. 6 cents for a postage stamp. Gallon of gas, 35 cents. Average new car, $3,500. Average house price, $27,000. All based on the average salary for an American in 1969 of $8,600. Jennifer Lopez and Jennifer Aniston, both born in 1969, along with Gwen Stefani. Popular songs. Number one song of the year, Sugar Sugar by the Archies. Aquarius, Let the Sunshine In, Fifth Dimension. I Can't Get Next to You, The Temptations. Honky Tonk Women from the Stones and Everyday People, Sly and the Family Stone and the Oscar winners. Cliff Robertson for Charlie. Katharine Hepburn for The Lion in Winter. And Best Picture, Oliver, 1969. Read 'em and weep. Oh, here's the top 10 songs. Here it is. Okay. Number 10, What Does It Take? Junior Walker and the All-Stars. Color Him Father, The Winstons. The Ballad of John and Yoko. Beatles at number 8. Bad Moon Rising, CCR. Crystal Blue, Persuasion, Tommy James. One, Three Dog Night was number 5. The Love Theme from Romeo and Juliet. Pretty good song. Henry Mancini at 4. Good Morning Starshine, Oliver. Spinning Wheel, Blood, Sweat, and Tears at number 2. And In the Year 2525, Zager and Evans, The Pride of Lincoln, Nebraska. Top 10 songs, July 10th, 1969. All right, let's see what else we got here. A sealed 1996 Super Mario 64 set a record yesterday for most expensive game ever sold, purchased for $1.56 million during an auction. Black Widow made $80 million over the weekend. Disney Plus subscribers had to still pay an extra $30 to watch it, but a lot of people did. Katie Thurston is the bachelorette right now, and she wants the guys, the contestants, to refrain from getting handsy with themselves while this whole thing is going on. Here's the quote. I want to make it a little hard for them. Make it very hard for them. End quote. She is instituting something called week off, whack off. You think I'm making that up? I'm not. Steven Seagal's band opened for Sammy Hagar in 2006 for $1,000. He arrived with a large entourage and packing two pistols, which he was carrying because, according to him, he was on the mafia's hit list. You may remember Patricia Heaton. Well, everybody knows Patricia Heaton from Everybody Loves Raymond, but you may remember when you had that woman somewhere in Florida about 20 years ago who was brain dead. Terry Schiavo. Wow, odd that I would remember that name after all these years. But she was brain dead. She had no brain matter, no brain activity. But Patricia Heaton, being one of those real, real serious Catholics, was saying, you know, you can't pull the plug on her life support system. She's still alive. Look, she was great on the show. She was great on Everybody Loves Raymond. And pretty much everything after that that I've ever heard her say is stupid. Anyhow, she's celebrating 3 years of sobriety right now. So maybe that was what it was. Got the home run derby tonight. I just saw that Yachty, who was the backup catcher because Buster Posey, who got the most votes, wasn't going to participate, I think, because of an injury. So then they were going to have Yachty be the starting catcher. And now Yachty said he's not going either. I'm a big baseball fan, as you know. I don't even bother with the home run derby. I think it's stupid. Late night tonight, everybody's back now after their holiday for the 4th of July. And some of these shows have been off for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, Tig Notaro shows up on Jimmy Fallon, possibly the most unfunny person I've seen on television. Megan Fox, Jay Farrow, and Kelly Rowland join guest host Arsenio Hall tonight, filling in for Jimmy Kimmel. Colbert's got Keegan-Michael Key, James Corden, for some reason, still in repeats, and Seth Meyers has Scarlett Johansson and also Mets pitcher Noah Syndergaard. Birthdays today, Rachel Brosnahan, the marvelous Mrs. Maisel, is 31. Topher Grace from That 70s Show and Spider-Man 3, 43. Cheryl Ladd, one of the Charlie's Angels. Fitness guru, oh, she's 70 today. Richard Simmons, 73. Christine McVie, had a chance to meet her. She is a lovely woman, I will tell you. 78 years old today. And Bill Cosby, 84. Can't imagine how he'll celebrate. The original Family Feud premiered on this date, 1976. 29 years ago today, 1992, they finally tracked down Axl Rose and arrested him at JFK in Washington on charges stemming from a little problem out at the Riverport Amphitheater. And it was 42 years ago today, 1979, and I was living in Chicago at that time briefly. The infamous Disco Demolition Night, put together by Steve Dahl, who's a jerk, and Gary Meyer, who's a great guy. Fans got into the game for 98 cents. This is at a White Sox game at the old Comiskey Park. You get in for 98 cents if you bring a disco record and then put it in the pile so that between games of the doubleheader, they could blow them up. And unfortunately, there was smoke and there were vinyl shards all over the place. Plus, the crowd pretty much took over the field between games. And the White Sox, they had to forfeit the second game. 7,000 fans charged the field. And unbelievably, they never did another disco demolition night. Okay, so back to Richard Branson, who made history yesterday. Back in 1998, we had Richard Branson on the old morning showgram. Maybe it was the Breakfast Club. I don't remember anymore. It was 1998, ancient history. And at that time, sort of the way there is a competition going on now between Branson and Jeff Bezos, there was a competition going on between Steve Fawcett in the hot air balloon. Remember he took off from Busch Stadium once? So this is the era we are talking about. in 1998 with billionaire Richard Branson. JC's Celebrity A-List interview of the day.
People have been trying to get inside your brains and figure out why, when you have so much to risk and you are obviously chairman, CEO, and controlling interest of your companies, that you would risk something like this, because obviously there's no secret here. There's a high rate of failure to a balloon. And it's like you said, the thin dividing line between staying up and going down in the ocean like Steve Fawcett did last time. And he was lucky enough to come out of it alive. Although I think talking to him, he doesn't really sound like he was really sure how he did it. What is it about guys who have the amount of money that you have? Is it that nothing really provides a thrill anymore other than something that is essentially death defying?
It's extremely difficult to explain. I mean, I think 50% of the population would just love the challenge of doing something that's never been done before and seeing what they're capable of and seeing whether they can push technology forward. The other 50% of the population think that we're absolutely and utterly mad. I just feel I'm very lucky in my life to be able to live my life to its full, to live every minute as if it's one's last, to have magnificent experiences. And if I'd actually said no to the original time I was asked to see whether we'd be the fastest across the Atlantic by boat, or no with our first balloon crossing of the Atlantic, my life would have been, I think, that much the poorer for it. You're working with teams, you're trying to see what you're capable of, you're pushing the technology forward, you're flying over every ocean, every landmass, every river in the world, just blown and powered only by the wind. Magnificent views, I mean, breathtaking views. And obviously, we wouldn't do it if we didn't think we were going to come back. So, in the same way as in business, you protect the downside. We've learned to skydive. We've learned to deal with most of the worst eventualities that can happen. And we whether we're successful or not, we think we will at least come back to tell the tale.
Well, the book is called Losing My Virginity: How I Survived, Had Fun, and Made a Fortune Doing Business My Way. Richard Branson, when you're flying over St. Louis in about 5 weeks, drop us some CDs, okay?
We certainly will.
All right, thanks, Richard.
I really like the ending to that interview, because if you're a billionaire, you are surrounded by sycophants, people who will just do anything you say. They don't challenge you because they know they got it made, and you've got all the money and you've got all the power and the influence. You just agree with everything he says. And in our case, we just get these people on the air. We treat them like normal people. I like to treat people the way I imagine them before they became famous and before they became rich. And so you heard him laugh. It's hard to make a billionaire laugh, seriously. And we made him laugh there with the comment about the CDs because of Virgin Records. All right, that's it. Another JC podcast is in the can. We are here every weekday morning. We publish at 7 a.m. Please spread the word if you can. And we'll talk to you tomorrow morning. In the meantime, we beat this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The JC Corcoran Podcast.